nation under fraud. Completely visible with lying and spying for all. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Re-elected, would you increase the frequency of garbage pickup?
Well, citizen, that's an excellent question, and I thank you for it. I think it's great we live in a town where you can ask questions. Because without questions, we just have answers. And an answer without a question is a statement.
Oh, I like him. He looks me in the eye.
That's one of my favorite leads into the show because it speaks volumes about politics. Family Guy, the episode, he looks me in the eye, even though the guy never answers his question. It's a politician. It's just, is that not just in a nutshell? Like, what's going on? Woo. Yeah. How are you, Uncle Milty?
I'm good. I'm a little concerned.
Why?
You'll hear in a minute when Mel starts talking.
Okay. We have Mel Mattison joining us. MelMattison.com, MattisOn. So glad to have you, Mel. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. He's the author of Quaz, and we first met him, actually, when he was talking about his book, and loved it so much and love him so much, we asked him to come back every week. And we're usually talking about economy or the shenanigans like we are today, or money, or how it all works, because a lot of us don't understand that, right? We say, this many billion just went off to Ukraine and it goes into the abyss. We know that, but where is it actually, what's actually happening? And you had a really smart listener ask you the question. What was the question?
Well, this listener was pretty much asking if I could look into or kind of shed some light on exactly what you're talking about, which is what are the mechanics, what are the mechanisms once this $61 billion aid package gets passed? How does the money actually flow and change hands? You know, obviously it's not Joe Biden sitting there writing a check out and, you know, sending it in the mail to Zelensky. So what actually happens? And more to the point, where are the holes in this plumbing, this financial plumbing? Where is the money falling out into the deep pockets of, you know, political donors? What are the backroom deals? Like, how does this all work? And I thought that was a super interesting question. And, you know, I did spend some time researching into it, and it has all of the diabolical craziness that you would expect, but it's actually even worse. Like, it's kind of a rabbit hole once you get into it. And so I think it'll be a very interesting topic to discuss.
Please give us the answer. We're on the edge of our seat. How does it work? What happens?
Well, basically, the main aid bill with Ukraine, they divide up into two big buckets, like financial aid, think U.S. dollars, and military aid. And so dealing with the military aid first, which is something that, you know, I think is the most common and we can basically skip over pretty much. But just it happens the way you'd expect it would happen, which is we've used tons of munitions. We've sent them a lot of, you know, military hardware. That hardware has been used by and large. Now we need to restock our stockpiles, and we need to send billions of dollars to defense contractors like Raytheon and Lockheed Martin to put in new contracts so we can get more of these weapons. And the way that money, you know, flows through the plumbing is, of course, it goes to their corporate capitalist crony capitalism buddies in these corporations, which, as I've talked about before, these things overlap. People that are the CEO of these companies sit on the boards of the Federal Reserve banks, different things like that. And then in return, the politicians, you know, get big donations, right? They get dinners thrown for them. They get, their children get internships, bribes, cronyism, everything that you can think of. That's pretty straightforward stuff. On the finance side is where it gets a little, you know, more tricky with the dollars. And you would think that it would make sense if we wanted to help them financially, we would send money to Ukraine and we'd oversee where it goes and we'd make sure that it's being used for things we thought were important. But no, that's not what we do. What we do is we give it to this organization. It's called USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. This is a independent agency of the federal government. So there are certain agencies that the federal government likes to keep independent.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Milty?
Well, I just, as we introduce this, I do want people to understand something. This came about in 1961. It was called the Foreign Assistance Act, and it was to reorganize the U.S. foreign assistance programs that were mandated the creation of an agency to administer this economic aid.
Mm-hmm.
That agency is USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. That agency was created by executive order of John F. Kennedy. And any president since can abolish it, and they never have. Go ahead, Mel.
Thank you for that. No, really. Well, thank you for that. Okay.
That's exactly the point of what I was trying to highlight with independent agency. Whenever the federal government wants to really pull some shenanigans, they don't want it to be under a department secretary. It essentially is in the White House, okay? So, you know, you think about where the biggest shenanigans happen with the securities markets. You know, the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, there's another independent agency. So these don't fall under Yellen or, you know, Mayorkas or any of these people.
Yeah.
They get to be under the political insiders, the chiefs of staff of the White House, stuff like that.
All right.
So that's where it just starts. Now it really starts to get interesting because USAID doesn't take the money and give it to Ukraine. They give it to the World Bank. Yes, that's right. All the money that we just passed to give to Ukraine is going to be funneled through this independent agency directly to the World Bank. And you know, you might say, Mel, why are we giving the money to the World Bank? I thought that was just to help Ukraine.
Yeah.
Well, the World Bank, which essentially oversees and runs a mafia racket for developing countries, you know, they argue that they need to be the ones to administer this money because that way they can pull donor funds. They can take money from Europe. They can take our money.
Right.
And then not only that, but then they say, don't worry, U.S., we will do the oversight. We will make sure all this money gets spent correctly.
Melty?
Oh, I just keep thinking of Al Capone.
We need the Godfather theme. Okay. So you're right about the World Bank, though. 100%. Jeez. Woo. It is. It's a racket.
And the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the Bank for International Settlements. Those are the three big, what they call intergovernmental organizations that are essentially accountable to no one. They're run by boards of governors that are appointees. They're extra jurisdictional. They don't fall under, you know, they're not subject to the constitutional rules of any countries.
Right.
A lot of these organizations, like the Bank for International Settlements, they're given sovereign status, you know, under international treaties signed at The Hague that, you know, no other, you know, organizations have. And so once you've got the money into the hands of the World Bank, now we start going deeper down the rabbit hole. Now the World Bank is going to start, you know, funneling this to Ukraine. And, you know, there are things in the bill, like it says in the bill, you know, there's this much for military spending. But then when you read deeper into that section, it says, but it can be decided that up to 50% of this $27 billion for military can be switched over to financial. And then you look deeper into the bill, it's like these are loans.
Right,
and then
right.
you read, but the president can forgive the loans, 50% of them starting on November 15th, 2024. So 1 week after the election, if Biden wants to, he can forgive half.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years later, he can forgive it all. And you just keep looking at it. It says, we can't spend this money on federal pensions for Ukrainians. But here's the thing. Once this money goes into some corrupt Ukrainian pot, I mean, money is fungible. It's like me telling you, Kate, I'm going to give you $1,000. You can't buy any T-shirts with it.
Right.
And you say, okay, Mel, and you use it to buy your groceries. And then you take what would have been your grocery money and you use it to buy T-shirts. You can't put in a bill. This isn't going. Once you give people money, it's up to them how they're going to. So this just goes on and on and on. And I mean, I'll pause here.
Yeah.
But how it then gets funneled into the corrupt individuals is a whole nother story.
And maybe BlackRock too, because BlackRock is the one that handles the allocation Of all the places, BlackRock, who owns a lot of housing now and owns a majority of everything. They have a stake in everything now, if not ownership. But BlackRock was appointed, you know, everybody thinks it's a private entity. Oh, boy, it's not. Uncle Milty?
You know, I am confident, though, that when the money goes from USA to the World Bank, someone says, and please do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure like pennies on the dollar are going to do something reminiscent of what we want to happen. Pennies on, and I mean, this is the thing people need to understand. I mean, the amount of money so far that we've given to Ukraine, if you look at the entire budget of the Russian military for 2023, it was something like $87 billion.
Right.
Like our budget in the United States is like $1 trillion. We've already given over $100 billion to Ukraine, so. You know, and what happened was once Putin realized that, like, we were going to start funding this this war, I mean, he basically decided, OK, I'm going to get us ready. And he more than tripled his military budget. He took his military budget from less than $100 billion to close to $400 billion. Mm-hmm. And he's funneling that money in. And that's why this is just, you know, on the brink of collapse.
Yeah. Well, many people out there are very wisely asking, where is the war in Ukraine taking place? Where is it? Because a lot of Ukrainians going to work and living there and doing their thing. And you can Google Earth it. And it's pretty amazing. So people are going, where is this war? There's not a whole lot of documentation. Kind of interesting.
No, exactly. And Larry Fink, you're right. On November 16th, 2022, he signed a memo of understanding, BlackRock's Larry Flint with Zelensky, for BlackRock to provide advisory support. And so this is just really, I mean, it almost defies belief. And, you know, I started looking into some of the other debt that Ukraine has. So they have almost $200 billion in debt. It's trading at like 30 cents on the dollar. And they also have separate debt of certain power companies.
Right.
And you start researching how these London hedge funds have been buying some of this debt for like 13 cents on the dollar. And they're trying to essentially like carve out Ukrainian power company debt as separate debt from the sovereign debt so that they can still get paid. So we have got the deep hands of the economic state all over this.
Amazing.
London hedge fund managers, Larry Fink. I mean, it's
great.
We'll
be right back. More of the circus with Mel Madison and Uncle Milty when we come back on the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. Hey everybody, just a quick note about gold prices. I just wanted everyone to realize that April 5th, it was gold at $2,305, record day. Before to compared to 2271. Gold is going up, and as we had our guest on from Birch Gold describing last, it's not actually kept up with the inflation amount, so it should be probably around $5,000 an ounce, but it's not. This is the time, get in before it achieves that. You're going to want to make sure that you have gold and silver on hand. Silver's up today. Just make sure and get in and get to Birch Gold. Birch Gold is who I trust. So I'm telling you, this is who I trust. Get your gold and silver from them. Highly trusted Ron Paul, Steve Bannon, even Donald Trump Jr. go to Birch Gold and are very outspoken about that. I mean, they have the 5-star ratings and been over 20 years in the marketplace. They're also very red-pilled. So this would be an excellent time before it really goes up. It's only going to go up. That's the prediction. If gold is now in a bull market, what is everyone going to pretend bear levels are, right? And we have to really look at the solid data. Protect yourself against inflation, against deflation, against economic uncertainty right now. Just at least text that number and get the information, 989898, and text my name, Kate, as the message. Thanks, you guys.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Doing the white man overbite. Are you doing the white man? You are the white man.
Yeah.
Where's your overbite?
I don't identify with an overbite.
Are you identifying as a black female again? Welcome to the show. This is crazy. And can I just make one point, because Mel's going to describe something. Do you see any on our side that claim to be conservative, love the country, as we're told over and over again, saying all of this to you? Mel Madison is. Kate Daly Show is. Where are those people that are patriots that can that would disclose all this and tell you all this? And that's what I love Mel for. So I'm so glad that you're doing this. And to the listener, Mike, thank you for this question, because wow, what a rabbit hole. And talk about the money, the funds. This is going to blow people away.
Yeah, I mean, so people might, if they listen last week, I talked about a stablecoin bill, which was an almost 200-page bill, and I didn't read the whole thing. I read through a lot of it, but not the whole thing. This Ukraine bill, surprisingly, is actually only 49 pages. So I'd actually recommend listeners, if they want to read this or to just see where it is, because
I'll put it on the Facebook show, on the Facebook page, Kate Daly Show.
When you start looking at it, it spells out all this money to things like the intelligence community, to narcotics enforcement, to the Department of Health and Human Services. Well, here I'll give you a quote. Okay. This is from page 16 of the bill. This is the Ukraine funding bill. Okay, I'm not reading from something else. Going to the Department of Energy for quote unquote science. And they literally put science in quotes. For an additional amount for quote-unquote science, $98 million, to remain available until expended for the acquisition, distribution, and development and production of medical stable and radioactive isotopes.
I have
no idea what that means.
What?
Well, apparently in the Ukraine bill, it was important to give $100 million to the Department of Energy for the acquisition, distribution, and development of medical stable and radioactive isotopes. I don't see anybody discussing that.
I don't even, yeah, hello. That's very odd, okay. And also, go ahead.
You can go down two more pages, and you can go to $481 million going to the Department of Health and Human Services. An additional amount for refugee and entrant assistance, okay? And then you can go up, and it just goes on and on and on. And sometimes it's smaller amounts, like $2 million. Sometimes it's $500 million. And it's just, this is the pork. This is the stuff that people talk about gets added into bills. But some of it is very sinister in nature. And I don't know why there's isotope funding.
Well, the radioactive isotopes of radium, right, are usually found in rocks and soil, uranium. So we think we're sending money over, right, to fight some war that nobody has really substantiated. And they're mining with the money.
Yeah. You're right. That's exactly it. They're searching for rare earth metals. They're searching for uranium, which they're going to need to power nuclear plants, because everybody knows that this solar revolution is never going to solve our energy problems. It's an unbelievable boon. I think if you go back to first reasons, like, why is this even happening? And a lot of this, and I'm not trying to forgive Putin or be a Putin apologist, but a lot of this, if you go back to 1993, when we told Ukraine, give up your nuclear weapons. And then when you look at how we pushed and pushed and pushed for them to, like, get into NATO, there were assurances made when the USSR fell that we weren't going to expand NATO. There were things made. And, you know, people said, well, you know what, to different leaders like Yeltsin, you know, we never put it in writing. And you know, we finally got to a point where we were literally knocking on Russia's doorstep. I mean, there's an old saying, Russia without Ukraine is a nation. Russia with Ukraine is an empire. Ukraine is a very vital part of Russia. And so, at least in the eyes of someone like Putin, so for us to threaten to put NATO in there, Mm-hmm. You know, there are things that we antagonized and provoked.
Right.
And why would we do that?
Right.
Well, here's one example why.
Yeah.
Maybe we want some of those resources. Maybe we want the uranium.
We're going to come right back, Milty.
No.
Nothing on that. Okay.
No.
All right. No. We'll come right back. More with MeltMadison.com. Visit his website, MeltMadison. His book, Quaz. It's amazing stuff, isn't it? I love it that he'll pour through this. This is awesome. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. I have Uncle Milty here, as usual, on Tuesday. I also have Mel Madison, as usual, on Tuesday, and I love it. I'm a lucky girl. And I also wanted to tell you, I'll be on OAN Network tomorrow, also welcoming a station in Florida. Yeah, in a few weeks. That'll be fun. And I also... I just wanted to make sure that you're texting Birch Gold and getting the latest information on gold prices. Some new stuff came out. Text 989898. Text my name, Kate. You'll get the information sent to your phone. And yes, they did something with gold prices. You might want to find out what it is. And I really thank you for that. They are a wonderful sponsor of the show, and I trust them. And I know that you do too, because I'm getting emails from you, and I love it. Birch Gold, it does an amazing job. Ron Paul is a frequent guest on this show and has been for years, and he loves Birch Gold too. Talks so highly of them and uses them himself. So I just love this company. 989898, right on your phone. Okay, that's what the number you text, and then you just send my name, Kate. Please do that. Really appreciate that. I've got Uncle Milty. I've got Mel Madison. So first of all, talk Vietnam, then talk City of London. This is so intriguing.
Okay. Well,
Vietnam.
You know, we were talking a little bit during the break about like this whole war machine money type, I don't know what you would call it. Just
military industrial complex.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. Eisenhower got it right there. Mm-hmm. Like, and how it works in different ways. And I mentioned what's interesting is right around the time, you know, this Foreign Aid Act came out in the 1960s. It was also one of the first things that the United States government did as the Vietnam War was getting started, was they went and had a secret meeting with Chase Manhattan Bank and told them immediately, you need to open a branch in Saigon. And you might say, what are you talking about? Chase Manhattan had a branch in Saigon during the Vietnam War. Yes, they did. It was basically a bunker. Mm-hmm. But the reason why it was there was because they knew that so much money was going to be flowing into Vietnam, which used to be a French colony, that all the banks there were French banks, that the money was going to start flowing through French banks. Mm-hmm. And this was during a time when the U.S. dollar was still convertible to gold. It would wind up in French hands, and the French would come to the United States and demand payment in gold. And so this whole wheel of military-industrial complex money is something that's been with us a long, long time.
Wow. Talk about City of London.
Well, this is where all the money moves once it kind of gets offshore. And this is whether we're talking about drug dealers, we're talking about illegal arms dealers, we're talking about government corruption, essentially all of the money. What happened was at the end of World War II, all of the bankers in London who had controlled international finance during the reign of the British Empire for the last 200 years, they realized that the days of the pound sterling being the world reserve currency were over. But they did not want to give up their role as the masters of international finance. So everybody in London, in connection with the Bank of England, essentially came up to a plan. Their first client was the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union wanted somewhere where they could put U.S. dollars that would not be under the jurisdiction of the United States. And so with the help of the Bank of England, the large banks in London, they begin setting up these tax haven states in places like the Cayman Islands, Bermuda, these British protectorates that were basically empty islands at the time, and where now it's estimated this system over the decades eventually grew to house all of the money, all of the dollars in circulation that are not in the United States. And those dollars total at least probably $100 trillion, which is three times the size of the U.S. national debt. Most U.S. dollars in existence exist in what is called the euro dollar world. And it's called euro dollar because it started in Europe, but it essentially is referring to any U.S. dollar that is held outside of the jurisdiction of the United States and the United States banking system and the Federal Reserve. And this is where once these assets get into that system, which is what the World Bank then can fund to Ukraine and Zelensky and his buddies can put it wherever they want. Once it gets into this euro dollar tax haven system, then it's essentially dark money. Nobody knows what it is. And this is actually where most of the money in the world is held. It's held in this shadow banking system.
And the different territories, we all have them. United States has D.C., where all the politicians have their own credit union nobody else gets to use, and it's not exactly, it's a territory, right? And so all these countries have these little offshoot territories where they can house all of this and not be subject to the laws even in their own land.
Exactly. And there were State Department memos, again, to J.P. Morgan Chase, to Chase Manhattan, talking about in the 60s, from the Department of the Treasury, saying that London was dominating this extraterritorial U.S. dollar market, and we needed to get U.S. banks involved. We need to figure out how to be the new Switzerland, the new, and this was all under the auspices of, you know, originally the Bank of England, but eventually the U.S. banks and the Federal Reserve got in on the act too. And so this is all where you have the wink, wink, and the nudge, nudge of people that understand when you're dealing with, you know, these cabals of these international deep state bankers, they know all this. You know, anyone wants to Google size of the euro dollar market or what's the euro dollar market, like you can find this stuff. This isn't, everybody knows the Cayman Islands is a tax haven, right? I mean, everybody knows, but they don't understand the whole history of it. They don't understand how it works. And the history of it goes back at least to 1066. When after William the Conqueror took over England, there was one area he could not conquer, which is the center of the city of London, which is where the financial center is. And he granted them special privileges, which were renewed in the Magna Carta and which continue to this day. There was a brief period when the city of London did not have these privileges. And the king who restored them was William III, the same king who in 1694 set up the first modern day central bank, the Bank of England. So when you go back and you look at how this 1,000-year history of this international banking cabal, it really does exist. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's all there in black and white. And it's still going to this day where the city of London has its own official mayor, its own police force, elected by the businesses, not the people of the city of London.
And the statues?
Oh, and every year on November 11th, they have the two guardians of the city of London paraded through town. And by city of London, I don't mean Greater London. I'm talking about the 1 square mile financial district. It's called the city. It's the London version of Wall Street. They parade through town two statues, the guardians of the city of London, Gog and Magog. I mean, and this is, you can look this up, the Lord Mayor's Show, and they claim not that these are, you know, influential forces from the Bible, as is mentioned in Ezekiel and Revelation. They claim instead that the Gog and Magog they're talking about are benevolent wicker pagan giants.
Reminds me of the Baal statue that went around the world in a celebratory, now you have it, now you have it, now you have it. And people adorning it and saying how wonderful it was that that the UN or USAID, I can't remember who was doing it, made sure it was on a traveling show. So we have the Baal statue as a traveling show. We've got the city, this in particular Gog and Magog statue celebrated November 11th, right?
Yes.
November 11th.
Yeah. That's the day.
It's they're so out there with everything. They're so out there. They don't care. That we know.
You know exactly. I'll tell you. I remember when I first started looking into this stuff, which was probably about 20 years ago, which I had started my first job was basically selling payroll for a payroll company called ADP. And 20 years ago, I started working for financial firms and got involved in the financial sector. Mm-hmm. And I just was interested in the history of finance once I started working in finance. And at first I thought, you know, there's really some shadowy stuff going on in this mm-hmm. industry. And after 20 years of going through this, I am still shocked on a regular basis by the amount of deception, by skullduggery, right. mm-hmm. by the corruption,
right.
by the out and out theft
yeah.
that these institutions perpetrate right. and continue to get away with.
We'll be right back. More with Uncle Milty and Mel Madison. Be right back. Hey, everybody, you've heard me talk about donewithdebt.com. Maybe you haven't racked up credit card bills, but maybe you know somebody that has. Please give them this information because these guys actually are the real deal. Donewithdebt.com. Okay? Donewithdebt.com. And then tell them to choose my name because our sponsors help us stay on the air. And they can choose Kate Daly in the drop down menu when they are at the site. There's a couple of things to fill out. They keep that private, but they surely are helping people. I'm getting emails from you guys, and my favorite emails about working with these guys are, oh my gosh, they really are that good, okay? So people, take this hint. If you want to have them negotiate your rates down, they're phenomenal at it. And get out of credit card debt, they're phenomenal at it. Please give them a chance. They can really step in and help you before it gets too bad, okay? We have taken out so much money in debt that we have to be so careful right now to not push ourselves into maybe a coming bankruptcy or something like that. So Done With Debt, out of all the companies out there, these are the guys that I really, really like. These are the guys that I stand by. Donewithdebt.com. You will love them. And give their name to somebody that you know that's in trouble. Okay? Thanks, you guys. This last section of the show is cut short because we had technical difficulties today live on the air. So if you want to listen to the whole thing, this whole segment, you can actually go to Rumble and you can see us on screen. You can also see us trying to fix the computer problem, but you can go to Rumble under Kate Daly Show and just look for segment 8 and you'll find this complete segment, but you'll hear Mel Madison talking about Pearl Harbor in this short segment that we've got here. Thanks, you guys.
United States Senate, stand with me. I'm Jason Walton and I approve this message.
Paid for by friends of Jason Walton for Senate.
Japan got back and they said, well, that's a little too much, but they gave like some other options. And they said, you know, we need a decision by November 29th, 1941. And White really argued, you know, like this we can't do any of this and all this stuff. Now, again, I'm not saying, you know, who's right or who's wrong in these conflicts. I'm certainly not trying to defend Imperial Japan. The point of this story is about there's the story of the way these wars and things work that we're told on the TV screens and the news channels. And then there's like what comes out after the fact or what comes out when you start mm-hmm. digging into it. Mm-hmm. And I bet most people never heard of Harry Dexter White or how the Soviet Union manipulated him to give a basically untenable ultimatum to Japan that led up to the attack on Pearl Harbor. And these are just the types of things that you find when you dig into the United States Department of the Treasury.
Amen. Wow.
Amazing, isn't it?
That was really, really good. I really appreciated you doing that. It's huge. There's so much of this. There's so many tentacles. There's so many secret combinations of people that are making these conspiracies happen because they're conspiratorial fact. These things all took place. I love history, so thank you.
It makes me wonder if there really isn't such a thing as time travel. That people right. could put these things right. together and mm-hmm. look at us today, mm-hmm. where it brought us to today.
Yeah. It's truly amazing. No, I really appreciate that. Anything else you want to add?
Just if people are interested, Quaz is still available, Quoz, available wherever books are sold. You can search for Quaz Financial Thriller. It deals with a lot of these international intrigue issues, central bankers, you know, the gold standard, international manipulations, how it ties into corrupt politicians. So if people are interested, pick up a copy or check out my website, melmadison.com. But I just love talking about these things with you guys. And I think it's fascinating. And I think it's important. And I'm really proud that you have a show where you're willing to talk about these things. Because like I said, these aren't the things that they want aired to the general public. No. Because it truly threatens the powers that be.
Oh, so agree with you on this. Yeah, and I hope people really listen to this. We've been having some technical difficulties, and this will go up on podcast for people that could not get this particular section of the show. But let me just tell you, I mean, that's just how it works in radio. But I so appreciate you going into depth on it, though, because that's what we need to hear. We need to hear these things that are just destroying us. Because people will say, well, I don't know why. I don't know why. Why is this happening? How do we get here?
Yeah.
It's like, this is how we got here. Yeah. A lot of people conspiring to do things. So really appreciate you. Thank you. And Thank you. Appreciate you. And of course, be faithful, be fearless. MelMadison.com. Get the book Quaz. Thank you, Uncle Milty. Mm-hmm. See you back here tomorrow. All right. Thanks, you guys. Listen up, folks. ActivateFIQ.com. F as in Frank, IQ. ActivateFIQ.com. They have a brand new histamine. It's all natural for the season of allergies, which you may be experiencing already. They also have a sleep product that is amazing, and it does not leave you feeling hungover the next day, which is really nice. It's so natural, and it absorbs into your body, and it helps you kind of drift off to sleep rather quickly. And, of course, anxiety. They have an anxiety product that is amazing for those of you that experience anxiety. Once in a while, I even get that. So I absolutely love this product, and I love all their products. Their Whole C is amazing. Their copper and magnesium, everyone should be taking that. And also cod liver oil and beef liver actually helps your blood circulation. There's so many things they have there, and the absorption quality is amazing. Do not buy over-the-counter supplements. Please do me that favor. Go to ActivateFIQ.com. Get them cheaper. Use the code Kate. You're going to love me for this one because the products are that good and they absorb into the body. It's how the product is made is what is important. ActivateFIQ.com. Code word Kate.
3 months after the apocalypse.
Oh, MREs again.
I'm sorry, honey, but that's all we have.